Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now. This is
America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Yeah, it's a Saturday morning in America. Don't be slipping on anything here. Don't be sleeping in. We got a full show, Sports Saturday, here on Sports Radio 810 at WHB. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from Nebraska Furniture Mart in Kansas City, Kansas, at the Legends. Charlie Carlin is out here with me. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. A lot of fun stuff going on today. Let me give you the guests we have lined up for you first. Coming up at 9:25, Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, will join us. Obviously, we'll break down the second exhibition game for the Chiefs, a victory over those Atlanta Falcons, with some good work by not only Patrick Mahomes, who did make a couple of mistakes, but Chad Henne kind of gave you a little confidence that if anything should happen, the Chiefs might be okay for a couple, 3 weeks. So good stuff there. We're going to get into that with Matt Derrick at 9:25, and we're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes II here in just a couple of minutes. At 10 o'clock, Ben Kirchhoff from CBSSports.com will join us. College football right around the corner. Can't wait to get that started. And then we'll also talk a little bit about the latest from the Ohio State University and their former assistant coach, Zach Smith. Pretty disturbing stuff. I'm not going to read all the details over the air because it's pretty sensitive material, but I can put it in a language and phrase it in a way that you understand what we're talking about, and I don't have to say exactly what happened. And we'll get into other college football, too. That's at 10 o'clock with Ben Kirchhoff, CBSSports.com. At 11:25, Nate Picchetti from the Border Patrol is going to join us. Got a big game tonight out at Sporting Park, which actually I can look right out the window here at Nebraska Furniture Mart, and I'm looking at the Sporting Club right across the street. So got a huge game tonight at Children's Mercy Park, Sporting KC against Portland Timbers. Big game in the Western Conference. Sporting KC seems to have righted the ship the last couple of weeks. Got road wins in Houston and in Los Angeles against LAFC. Have gotten back close to the top of the Western Conference. Plus, Nate is going to talk a little bit more about big steps for KC, which is coming up, I believe, tomorrow. Right, Jed? You're doing the runner's prayer tomorrow morning?
Yes, I am. Nate was nice enough to ask me, and I feel very honored. But yes, it is tomorrow morning. Race gets going at 8 a.m. out at the KU Edwards campus. If you need more information, feel free to call this station. I have it as well.
Fantastic. And also check out the Big Steps website. And just so you get it spelled right, it's big with two G's. So big steps for KC. Nate Picchetti will talk about that. He's been talking about it for several weeks now, but every time he's on, it's a pretty emotional deal, but it's all for good stuff for cancer research. And all the money stays here in Kansas City, and the people who organize the race, the board of directors, not one of them makes a dime or even a penny. It all stays here in the community. So Nate Picchetti at 11:25. All right, let's get started with Chiefs football. And the bomb heard round the world last night in Atlanta. Patrick Mahomes, the second. I cannot wait to hear the Border Patrol Monday morning at 6 a.m. when Stephen St. John, Nate Picchetti, and Jake Gutierrez talk about a 69-yard touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes the second. Now, before that play, the first half was largely forgettable. There wasn't a lot of excitement, although I told you a couple of weeks ago, I didn't tell you, my prediction for the season was that Travis Kelce would be the leading receiver on this team in yards. Probably catches, too, because I thought he would be the most reliable pass catcher for Patrick Mahomes II, and he'd be the guy that Mahomes would rely on the most. That I saw last night. That was exciting stuff. There were intermediate routes, 6 to 8 yards, 10 to 12 yards, 15 yards, maybe a couple of longer ones. But the Patrick Mahomes-Travis Kelce connection really stood out to me in the first half. Love that stuff. Now, the Sammy Watkins connection needs some work. The interception that Patrick Mahomes II threw, he threw into double coverage, which was bad.
but Sammy Watkins didn't do a lot to help break up that play. I'd have to look at it again a few more times. I was watching it. I was doing a soccer game last night, so I had to watch it on DVR, so I had to go back and watch it again. But there was also the play in the end zone where Sammy Watkins curled around towards the back line, and then Patrick Mahomes tried to zing it into him, but Sammy Watkins failed to come back to the football, and it darn near got picked off. And I'll put that on Sammy Watkins. When you're in the end zone, and Mark Boerichter, if you're listening, you can give us the hot tip on this. If you're in the back of the end zone and the play is still developing in front of you, you have to come back to the quarterback. You have to, because there's not much space in that end zone. And when the defensive backs read the play and see what's coming, they're going to cut in front. If you're not moving forward, they're going to cut in front and take it out. They're either going to kneel down for a touchback or they're going to take it out of the end zone. You've got to come back for that ball. So Sammy Watkins, I was impressed with his speed up in training camp. I was up there the previous three weekends. All that's good stuff. His routes were generally pretty good. But that stuff has got to get ironed out. You got two games left to do it. Sammy Watkins is a pro. He's been around long enough. That's got to get ironed out. That can't happen in a regular season game. It just can't happen. That's either turnover city or you left points on the field. Cannot happen. So then we get later into the first half, into the second quarter, kind of hoping for something. By the way, Kareem Hunt, I don't need to see him get hit anymore. He had one hit where he basically got helicoptered to the ground. I mean, it was a brutal hit. I don't need to see Kareem Hunt do that. Kareem Hunt's on the team. Kareem Hunt's the starting quarterback. I don't need to see it. I don't. Let's find out if Darrell Williams, Kerwin Williams, pick another Williams. Let's find out if one of those guys. I'm pretty sure Damian's going to be on this team. Let's go ahead and get those guys in there. I don't need to see Kareem Hunt do that. I just don't. He's already been injured. He had the hamstring injury that lingered all summer long through OTAs and into the beginning of training camp. I don't need to see it. But the final drive, he got some stuff going. A little bit. And Patrick Mahomes II, I think Nate Mucciati retweeted this morning. Several weeks ago, maybe it was back in March, Patrick Mahomes was asked, what kind of field position do you need in a two-minute drive to go down and score a touchdown? What's your ideal field position? Where would you like the ball to start? And you're thinking for a young quarterback, it'd be good if we get to the if we started at the 35 or the 40. No, Patrick Mahomes II said, and again, I believe this is back in March, said, give me the touchback and we'll go. We'll get it done. Watch us. So facing a big play situation, clock running down, about a minute 12 left in the half, Patrick Mahomes drops back. Tyreek Hill takes off, as do the other receivers. Patrick Mahomes is waiting. Pressure is coming. Steps up into the pocket and uncorks a ball that was in the air for 69 yards.
69.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. Always. Like I said, the Border Patrol is going to have a field day with this on Monday morning at 6 a.m. And Yahoo Sports, I believe Therese Paylor retweeted it last night, yahoosports.com, said that that was longer than any pass completion in the NFL the entire previous season. I think Jared Goff threw one that was 61 and a half yards, maybe 62 yards, and Patrick Mahomes goes 69 yards. In different stat groups, I don't know who keeps those stats, by the way. I didn't know that was a thing, that somebody tracked how long a ball was in the air or the distance. I didn't know that was a thing, honestly. But some different places will tell you 69 yards. Some say 68.8, 68.7, whatever it is. 69 freaking yards on the run. And let me say this about Tyreek Hill, okay? He didn't just run a fly pattern. It wasn't just him running down crazy, just waiting for the ball to come down. No. Tyreek Hill's lined up a little bit inside, running down the field, kind of on the hash marks. He cut back inside, turned his head. Defensive backs are turning back as well. Then Tyreek Hill cuts back outside and leaves three, not one, not two, but three defensive backs in his wake, like a jet boat down at the Lake of the Ozarks. You're just swimming in the wake of the biggest boat down there. Not only did he make the two turns, which were outstanding, But when you make that cut in and then you cut back out, and to be able to still track the ball, maintain your balance, and make the catch, that's world class, folks. There's not a lot of guys in the National Football League that can do that.
The other part of that play that's so impressive is the fact that we're making so much of the throw, and it was unbelievable by Mahomes, and the route was brilliantly run by Tyreek Hill. He even had to wait on the ball. That's how fast he is.
Yes!
After beating three guys, he was waiting. It's not like he was waiting a long time, but he certainly slowed down. He wasn't running in stride when he caught the ball.
Yes, and I watched that I probably watched it full speed three or four times, and I watched the slow motion replay probably half a dozen times. And when they do the ISO on the route, it's a thing of beauty. It's just stunning the way Tyreek Hill can not only he runs the deep route, he makes the two cuts, first inside, first outside, maintains most, if not all, of his speed, tracks the ball. That's hard to do, tracking a ball that's coming from 69 yards away, and then be able to maintain the balance and make the catch. The balance, to me, you don't see that from hardly anybody in the National Football League. By the time you make two turns at that distance and that speed, you're off balance or you're falling down. That's generally what happens. Not a lot of guys who can do that. So that was outstanding. I thought the offensive line in pass protection was much better in this game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Run blocking, still an issue. Still an issue. And I talked to our good friend and frequent guest of the program, Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News last night. Had a conversation because, like I said, I was doing a soccer game last night. I had to watch the Chiefs on DVR. And so I was hitting up Nick for some info. What do you think? And he said, pass protection, much better. Because Nick is an offensive line guru. He loves talking offensive line and defensive line. And he blogs about it at 41 Action News, talks about it on their podcast, 4th and 1. So offensive line, much better in pass protection. That first game, Patrick Mahomes was under pressure a lot, taking sacks, dumping short passes. Which he had to dump some passes in that first quarter. But pass protection, much better for the Chiefs' offensive line. I thought they took a step forward. Now you got to get the run blocking down. Got to get that ironed out. Because Patrick Mahomes II is not going to be throwing 69-yard bombs if the Chiefs can't run the football. Okay? So run blocking was much better. Defense, where to start? Oh, man. Okay. So I was listening to our good friend Josh Briscoe last night, who did the post-game show. Fabulous job by Josh, by the way. That's hard. I've done late-night radio several times, and then it's not easy. But when you have good things to talk about, like we saw with the Chiefs last night, it makes it easier. And the Mahomes play made it easier. I think before that 69-yard bomb, Josh had tweeted out, please, God, let Patrick Mahomes throw a bomb so I have something exciting to talk about. And then God answered his prayer, and he got it. So, the defensive line, I thought, was pretty good. I think the Chiefs are okay there. With the kid they got from Arizona, the Grandview kid, Xavier Williams, I thought was good. Chris Jones, I thought was good. So, that inside stuff, I liked. The linebackers were okay. Nothing outstanding, but nothing awful. Still need to work on tackling. That seems to be an issue that's just never going away. But the secondary, good gravy. And I'll say this about the linebackers, too. If Reggie Ragland and Anthony Hitchens, who did not play last night, if they're hurt during the season, this team is lacking depth at linebacker. They're okay, but it could be a problem. The kid from Iowa, Of course, I draw a blank right when I'm going to talk to him. Ben Neiman. You think I know that because I watched a lot of Iowa football last year. Ben Neiman, I thought, showed himself well. It helps when you get an interception, right? When you're going to the film room, that's going to show up.
I like that kid. He plays pretty well. He had a big tackle last week, too, on a goal line stop.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I said this. You remember, Jed, when we were doing the show and the Chiefs came out with their list of undrafted free agents they signed, and it was like, I don't know, 20-something guys. and I was looking for somebody that stood out. Ben Neiman jumped off the page. Like I said, I watch a good amount of Iowa football. I'm a fan. And when I saw Ben Neiman's name pop up, I was like, holy cow. There's a guy who could make a team, an undrafted free agent who could make an NFL team. Because if you're coached at Iowa, you're not going to win a national championship. You're not going to be in a college football playoff, I don't think. But you're going to compete to go to Rose Bowls. You're going to be in that Big Ten championship game on occasion. But you're going to be a well-coached football player. And Ben Neiman shows every sign that he's a well-coached. He was well-coached at Iowa, and he's taking the coaching here in Kansas City. Now, look, I'm not saying he's a Pro Bowl player. Nobody's saying that. But I think he can be a very good player in the National Football League, whether that's as a starter, whether it's as a backup, whether it's a rotational guy. I think Ben Neiman's a find.
Is he worse than Frank Zombo?
I don't think you can be.
That's what I mean. I mean, if you look at cost and things,
maybe by comparison, I'm giving him a little too much. But
I'm to do essentially the same thing: be a backup inside linebacker and play special teams for a fraction of the cost. I certainly think you could move on from a guy of that nature. I'm not calling for Frank Zombo to lose his job specifically, but something like that. Yeah, I think that Neiman could probably play.
Yeah, if you're a undrafted free agent, you'll be on a minimum rookie contract, which will be peanuts in the National Football League. Save some money, and you get a solid player. So I like that. The defensive backs, folks, look, do I need to break it down for you? I think everybody saw the same thing last night. It's a problem. It's a definite problem. When Steven Nelson got knocked out of the game, literally knocked out of the game, the Chiefs had major issues. Amerson is getting torched. I mean, there's no hiding it. Not saying anything that anybody doesn't already know, but it's a problem. Steven Nelson goes down. I mean, Steven Nelson's not a star, but it's his turn to step up. It's his turn to show he can be a competent defensive back and play corner in the National Football League and play it at a high level. It's his turn to do that. And he gets, you know, he goes down for a tackle, gets leapfrogged by the running back, and takes a knee to the helmet, and he's out of the game. Concussion protocol. Don't know when he'll return.
He also was one of the guys that people were expecting big things from. I know that Nate Taylor talked about how it's his contract year coming up, who writes for The Athletic, and Matt Derrick, who we're going to have on here in a few minutes, has mentioned how he looked really good out at camp. So, yeah, to lose another guy in an already depleted secondary, I know already playing with that Eric Berry for precautionary reasons, and then Daniel Sorensen, who you'd hope the Chiefs are upgrading from anyways. But, yeah, to lose another guy when your options are David Amerson. Kendall Fuller, I actually thought, played pretty well.
Kendall Fuller was
and you have to be encouraged by. But they were also challenging him and throwing at him a lot, which, hey, he looked up to the challenge to me. But, yeah, with David Amerson, yikes.
Yeah, exactly. Kendall Fuller, I'm glad you brought him up because I almost overlooked him. Kendall Fuller was outstanding, and that was a good trade for the Chiefs. They got a really good player. And he was playing on the outside as well as in the slot. You know, he's been pegged as, he's only a slot guy. He played both last night, and he had pass breakups, and he was really good. Also a good tackler. Seems to me to be a sure tackler. I really liked what I saw from Kendall Fuller.
Yeah, those Virginia Tech corners will certainly come up and hit you and make sure that you were stopped on a run or if you do catch a pass against them. But, yeah, I was really impressed with what he did last night.
And how many Fullers are in the NFL now? Is it three?
Yeah, they did that little montage last night. I think three currently in, but it's like five in the family.
Yeah, I think there's one in Carolina. That's Corey, right? I think Corey is in Carolina. And then there's another Fuller who's in Bears camp. So good stuff from Kendall Fuller. We got a few minutes before the timeout here. Jed, I'll just give you a heads up. We want to run Patrick Mahomes here in a second if we can. And just want to let some folks know, we're broadcasting live from Nebraska Furniture Mart in KCK, the Legends, right across from Children's Mercy Park. This place is going to be hopping today. They do not open till 10 o'clock, but this is all part of the national kickoff day to get you ready for college football, for the NFL, get you game ready. We got stuff for your man cave, for your woman cave. I think everybody's got a cave now. I think husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, they all share a cave now, right? Because we all like the cave. We all like the big TV. They got the wet bar. You got the jerseys and mementos hanging on the wall. It's all good stuff. So you can get everything for your cave here. So you want to invite you out here. We're going to be close to the center entrance, and we're going to have outside a whole bunch of stuff going on. We're going to have grill demos, Everybody needs help with their grill. I mean, come on. Well, let's be honest. We all need a little bit of help. They're also going to have beer and liquor tastings out here. So you can come out, try out some beers, try out some liquors. Here's the thing. With all the games they've got going out here, they're going to play cornhole. They're going to have a hot dog eating competition. That's all going to start at 3 o'clock, but you can register starting at 2. While all this stuff is going on today, Nebraska Furniture Mart is going to give away 13 televisions. That's my lucky number, 13. 13 televisions at Nebraska Furniture Mart they're giving away. Now, the foosball tournament is already sold out. Not sold out, you didn't have to buy, but the registration is full, so you cannot get in for the foosball tournament. They got the 32 people registered early and get them in there. So still going to have the cornhole contest, the hot dog eating competition. That all starts at 3 o'clock. Casey Wolf is going to be here at noon. So I know when I come out to Nebraska Furniture Mart, there's kids everywhere. So Casey Wolf is going to be out here. So all kinds of fun stuff going on out here at Nebraska Furniture Mart. Plus, if you stop by our broadcast location for our 810 WHB table, we've got the football insider for the Chiefs season. Talks about all the National Football League. You can get a copy of that. It's got Patrick Mahomes II on the cover. We've got the WHB koozies. We've got the coasters. And you can register for a chance to win tickets to the final preseason game between the Chiefs and the Packers at Arrowhead Stadium. So we got a little bit of everything out here. I can't tell you how much we have. I tried to, but it's even more. So going back to Chiefs football before we take a break and bring in Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com, let's hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes II.
I don't think I've ever thrown one that far in the game. I mean, I'm going to meet people that would be able to catch a ball going that far in the game. But I told Tint if I'd have thrown a spiral, he wouldn't have been able to get to it. But he disagreed with that.
How much of it is a relief to be able to air out in the game? So you didn't get an opportunity to do it last week. I mean, do you just feel better after you're able to throw a deep ball like that?
Yeah, I mean, always. You always feel better every time you throw a touchdown. But just to be able to use the speed that we have on the field is always a good feeling. And it's something you get to just keep learning. It comes within the game. You can't force it. And for me, I mean, just to get that to finally break through on a deep ball was a good feeling.
I know last week you guys only had 9 plays. And you talked about how much more were you guys able to get in a rhythm and come?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we were in a great rhythm, especially after that first drive. I mean, that second drive was a long one where we were kind of getting things going. The third one, I threw the interception on the first play of it, but then the fourth one to come back in a two-minute situation and get that two-minute vibe that you have to work on throughout the whole season was a great learning experience.
What did you learn in that?
Yeah, just like kind of like I said, you can't force the deep ball. I probably had an easier check down I could have thrown to. I hadn't thrown the ball deep the whole game, and I had it in my mindset that I was going to throw the ball deep, and you can't do that in this league. There's too good of players. So for me, I just have to make sure I kind of rein myself back in and go through the process because the deep balls come throughout the whole game.
You asked a lot of questions. About the offensive line.
Yeah, I thought they did well. I thought they fought really, really hard. They were way better than last week. I mean, they're really just working every single week just as well, the whole entire offense of just getting better every single week. So I feel like it all starts with them. They played even better than last week, and it made the whole team play better. And so for us, with them to keep getting better every single week, we'll keep our offense getting better. Yeah, I think just how I recognize coverages this game, I thought I did pretty well of just recognizing what they were in and taking what they were giving me for the most part, except for the interception. Other than that, I thought we had a lot of success of just moving the ball. And so for me, just getting that touchdown at the end of that half will help us build momentum going into the rest of the preseason.
In terms of building momentum, kind of connection with Bush Travis, that third down connection to get the first down, what does he do? Yourself to sort of be the guy that opens it up for everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, he's just such a mismatch for defenses. I mean, you can't find a guy that can just cover him. And so for me, every time you see him in a man-to-man situation, I mean, you want to try to give him a chance to make a play, and he usually makes it about 100% of the time. So, I mean, he is a guy that he helps open it up for everybody else, and getting him going, it gets the whole team going.
Patrick Mahomes II after last night's exhibition victory over the Atlanta Falcons. And how about Tyreek Hill's twerk? We're going to talk about that. Getting flagged for the twerk. Good stuff. We're going to hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid coming up later in the show as well. But we'll take a time out here. My name is Brad Porter. Broadcasting live from Nebraska Furniture Mart at the Legends in KCK, right across the street from Children's Mercy Park. A lot of fun stuff coming up out here today. We've got the cornhole competition, the hot dog eating contest. You can register starting at 2. The contest is at 3. Come in and check out all the stuff for your man cave, televisions, speakers, bar sets, tables, couches, chairs. They got everything out here for your football season cave. And throughout the course of the day, Nebraska Furniture Mart will be giving away 13 televisions, 13 TVs. That's better odds than where you get most places. Mostly, register to win a free TV. 13 TVs today. So we'll keep broadcasting out here up until noon. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here with me as well. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House studios. Quick timeout. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com is next. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
What a great open for a great song. Pearl Jam. Good stuff. Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Excited on this Saturday morning because everybody went to sleep last night dreaming about Patrick Mahomes II just launching 69-yard bombs at Arrowhead Stadium this season. Okay, it was one play. It was an exhibition game. But holy cow, was that special. And I woke up I was laughing about it. I watched it several times last night on DVR. I watched the videos on Twitter posted this morning. And I am just absolutely jazzed about it. By the way, my name is Brad Porter. Today we're broadcasting live from Nebraska Furniture Mart at the Legends in KCK. We're right across the street from Children's Mercy Park. We're going to have all kinds of stuff going on out here. Charlie Carlin is with me. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House studios. Coming out today, they'll have grill demos. They'll have beer and liquor tastings. The foosball tournament is already full. That's already booked. But you can still participate in the cornhole contest, the hot dog eating competition. They'll begin registrations for that around 2 o'clock, and then they'll take off at 3 o'clock. Casey Wolf is coming by at noon. You can also come by the Sports Radio 810 WHB broadcast location. We're just inside the front doors. We've got your Football Insider magazine. We've got plenty of those. We've got the 810 koozies. We've got the coasters. Plus, you can register for a chance to win tickets to the Chiefs' final preseason game against the Packers in a couple of weeks at Arrowhead Stadium. Coming up later in the show at 10 o'clock, Ben Kirchival from CBSSports.com will join us, talk a little college football and the latest embarrassment for The Ohio State University. At 11:25, Nate Buchady from the Border Patrol is going to join us. We'll talk Sporting KC. He'll be on the call tonight as Sporting plays host to the Portland Timbers. That'll be a big, big matchup. Plus, Nate is going to talk to us more about big steps for KC, which gets underway tomorrow morning, which good stuff. And Jed Marshall is doing the runner's prayer before all of that. So a lot of stuff going on out here. We're busy, okay?
Yeah, there's a lot kidding. Going on. Brad, quick, while they're giving away all those nice TVs out there, get me one of those. And I will say that it's lucky I'm back here in the Rally House studios and not out there for that foosball tournament because I would dominate.
You guys have the foosball table in the
We do.
The
I have the
basement.
Distinct advantage of playing against Cody Tapp, Fast Talk and Rob, and Soren Petro as my competition. So, yeah, we'd see who was best.
Oh, man. 13 TVs they're giving away. No, mostly, usually you walk into a place and say, we're giving away a TV, and you might get in a couple of 13 televisions, plus all the stuff for your caves. If you need bar stuff, if you need bar stools, if you need couches, you need lounge chairs, anything you can think of. You need a barbecue grill, whatever it is, whatever you can think of for your cave or your back patio, they've got it here at Nebraska Furniture Mart. All right, now back to Chiefs football here. And for that, we bring in our good friend Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. Matt Derrick, how are you on this beautiful Saturday morning across the Midwest?
Not too bad, my friend. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. And how many times did you watch the Patrick Mahomes II to Tyreek Hill 69-yard touchdown pass last night or this morning?
I've watched a couple, trying to figure out what happened and everything. Yeah, that was... It was something else, man. I wonder just if that's what we're going to live through. You're gonna have moments like the interception, but then you're just going to have these absolutely unbelievable throws that I'm just not sure any other quarterback in the league can make.
Matt Derrick, can you twerk like Tyreek Hill?
Not only can I not do that, I don't think anyone wants to see that.
I think I would be in traction for about a month if I tried to pull.
Oh, yeah. If I'd done that, I would definitely have pulled something.
Now, what's the deal here with the celebration penalties? Because the NFL has lightened up on the penalties for the celebrations, and I seem to remember last year someone twerked, and the NFL said, well, yeah, you got flagged because it was too many pumps, which I thought was hilarious to actually see that in writing. But is that, I guess that's the deal. You can go only so far.
Yeah, if you can figure out the NFL policy on celebrations, congratulations, because it makes zero sense. Yeah, you're right. I mean, they've said they're going to back off, they're backing off of it, and they're trying to make it a little bit less loose. But you know, it's in the eye of the beholder. It's whatever the official at that moment thinks is against the rules. And clearly, that guy thought that that was just a little over the line.
Well, thankfully, we found out in a preseason game and not a regular season game with the game on the line. So you got to figure these things out. How far is too far? We're talking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, about the Chiefs' latest exhibition game, a victory over the Atlanta Falcons with some mixed results, some good stuff, some bad stuff. But let's start, because I know on ChiefsDigest.com, you've got your five things we learned about the Chiefs in preseason game number two, and top of the list is Patrick Mahomes had a spotty first half, and I think he would agree as well. There were some intermediate routes that were so-so. There was the interception. There was throwing into double coverage. Sammy Watkins didn't help him out in the end zone by not coming back to the ball, but kind of a spotty first half for young Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and I think you kind of hit on there. I mean, you know, the turnover was very bad. I mean, that was a bad interception. It was just a poor play from beginning to end. He didn't even make any effort whatsoever to look off the safety. It's almost as though he didn't even realize there was a safety back there, which is a concern. I mean, that's been kind of a thing that he has not always seen in training camp and everything that we've seen. You know, and actually, I mean, it was somewhat of a Alex Smith-esque performance outside of that. You know, you take away the touchdown interception, you know, he's what, 6 of 10, 70-some-odd yards, kind of ballpark and everything. Not spectacular. I mean, you know, decent, but not spectacular. But, you know, obviously, you know, you can't back those things out, and the touchdown definitely overshines the interception. And as a result, you know, the end line looks decent. So, but you're right. I mean, there was a couple of small mistakes here and there, you know, one bad turnover, and then one phenomenal play. And, you know, if that's what you get in a, you know, half a football from Patrick Mahomes and over the course of a full game, you know, it's going to beat some teams. It's not going to beat everybody. And, you know, and I think there's a little bit more concern for me that, you know, that Atlanta did pull their starters a little bit earlier and everything. And the Chiefs,
yeah, I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah, the Chiefs started making some ground once those were out, because I think the bigger concern is that when it was one versus one, the Falcons had them crushed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I, you know, the run game, and I said this earlier in the show, Patrick Mahomes can air it out 69 yards anytime he wants. But if that offensive line, which I thought the offensive line did a much better job in pass protection, and I talked to your friend and my friend Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News last night about it, I thought it was better. But the run blocking still needs a lot of work, because if Kareem Hunt cannot get some lanes to run through, Patrick Mahomes isn't throwing any 69-yard bombs.
Yeah, you take out that one 9-yard gain that, you know, Hunt has, and he's got 6 carries for 6 yards on the other carries. So, you know, not spectacular. You know, and, you know, it didn't really get a whole lot better in the second half either. So, you know, they definitely had some struggles in the run protection across the board last night.
Absolutely. We're talking with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com about the second exhibition game down in Atlanta Friday night. The Tyreek Hill play, I guess let's get into this, because as I mentioned this earlier, Matt, when you look at this guy, we all know the world-class speed that Tyreek Hill has, right? And we know that he got better as a route runner last year, but he still had some work to do. The thing about that route, and Nate Buchady is absolutely right when he tweeted this out last night, to be able to run that route, you're on the hash marks, right? You are already, what, 40 yards away. Tyreek Hill cuts back inside with three defensive backs in tow. Then he cuts back outside to maintain that kind of speed to be able to track a ball coming from 69 yards away, to maintain your balance, which is hard to do, and make the catch. Was spectacular. We're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes throwing at 69 yards, great. But Tyreek Hill being able to maintain his balance and speed after two cuts and leave three defenders in the dirt, I was stunned.
Yeah, you know, I mean, everything you mentioned there is really what makes Tyreek Hill just a remarkable receiver and how he's developing and everything. Because you're right, I mean, he can maintain his speed as he's changing directions, which is amazing. You know, good grief. I keep looking at that, trying to figure out how he kept outrunning those guys at the end, because he actually had to slow down.
How do you cut twice and outrun three guys? I don't get it.
That's pretty amazing. But he had to slow down to wait for that ball. And so he wasn't running full speed at the end. And it looked like they still weren't catching up to him.
Yes.
That's what I was trying to figure out, is how are these guys not catching him when he did slow down? You know, but yeah, his tracking skills are just out of this world. You know, and he shows off in training camp. You can see it. He'll do it like on punts and everything like this. Of, you know, just trying to wait until the last possible minute before he goes for a ball, or you know, standing backwards and everything like that, and then turning around trying to track it. And I mean, I think in training camp, I've only seen there's been one deep ball where he has, you know, been open where he did not make the adjustment that he needed correctly to haul in. I mean, like I said, just once that I saw that, but
right.
His adjustments that he makes, you know, once the ball's in the air and be able to track it, are just absolutely phenomenal. You know, Andy Reid always talks about how he'd make a great center fielder. He would. I mean, you know, his ability to track that ball, you can't teach that. I mean, it's just innate, and he's got it.
Absolutely. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Nebraska Furniture Mart at the Legends in KCK. The doors open at 10 o'clock. Lots of giveaways, lots of games going on today, including 13 TVs they're going to give away today, which is unbelievable. We're talking with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. One more thing on the offense, Sammy Watkins, okay? I was impressed with his speed at training camp. Thought he ran pretty decent routes. Last night was not a good night for Sammy Watkins. And the play that stands out to me was not necessarily the play in which Mahomes got intercepted, which you can put on Mahomes for throwing into double coverage. And I'm not sure if where Watkins was on the route, if he was in the right spot. But the play in the end zone that almost got picked, where Sammy Watkins is basically tightroping the back line, and he's moving across, but he's not coming back to the ball. And that, when a defensive back sees a quarterback get ready to fire, and the wide receiver is not stepping up, that's gravy train time. And Atlanta should have had the pick there, but Sammy Watkins has got to do better and come up on that.
Yeah, I mean, and both those plays, you know, had the same fundamental flaw, which is that he wasn't fighting for and coming back to the ball in either case. And that's a problem. I mean, it really is. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, and maybe you chalk it up to, it's a preseason game. Maybe that's, you know, part of it. Hey, if that's the case, okay. But you know, Sammy Watkins normally, I mean, if you watch him in training camp, I mean, he generally goes hard all the time. So it's kind of surprising to see him not do that in a preseason game. But you know, you're right. I mean, those are two plays where you can't do that to your quarterback. I mean, you can't leave him hanging out there to dry on either one of those plays in any effort, you know, to come back to the ball. I mean, especially the interception. I mean, he could have played a role in that if he had come back to the ball and tried to fight for it. And certainly, that should have been a pick in the end zone. It was just a bad drop. I mean, that's why that guy's a defender and not a wide receiver. Should have been a pick. And once again, you could have made it a lot more difficult or broken it up if you come back and fight for that ball.
We're speaking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. If you want to read his five things we learned about the Chiefs in preseason week two, please go to ChiefsDigest.com. We're rolling through a couple of them here. Matt, the secondary, okay? I'm not breaking any government secrets here. I don't have security clearance. I'm not giving you information that nobody else has. But holy cow, am I worried, because Steven Nelson, I thought Steven Nelson was setting himself up for a good season, not a great season, but he understands where he is in his career. He has openly talked about it. It's his turn to step up. So I was expecting good things from Steven Nelson. Kendall Fuller, we know his track record. He was outstanding last time. But Steven Nelson gets hurt, and unfortunately, a runner leaped over him, and he took a knee to the helmet and got a concussion. Okay, we don't know all the details yet, but he's knocked out of the game. But the guys behind him, and you note this in your five things, the secondary injuries are very worrisome because Amerson, holy smokes, was he smoked? I didn't mean to make a joke there, but Amerson looked completely out of his depth last night in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's the worry because, if the Chiefs go into this thinking what their philosophy is, hey, we're going to have Steven Nelson and Kendall Fuller out there most of the time, and David Amerson's going to be our nickelback. So he's going to come in when, we're in these sub-packages. So, in theory, David Amerson's only going to be out there 30% of the time. Well, if you get an injury to Nelson or Fuller, suddenly, Amerson's your 100% guy. I mean, he's out there on every down. And now you're relying on him as a true starter and not just a role player. And I think that's a lot to ask from him. I mean, he's had a very up-and-down career. He's had some years where he's looked like an all-pro, and he's had years where he's looked like a replacement player. And, if you have him out there, 100% of the downs, he's going to get exposed. I mean, he's going to get beat. There are going to be struggles for him. And that's where, the Chiefs are concerned. I mean, they definitely are. I mean, that's why, you've seen some defensive backs coming through here that you're kicking the tires on from a free agency standpoint to see if there's players that can help them out and that are a good fit. Because, after that, you've got some drop-off. You definitely do. As soon as Nelson goes down, you've got Traylon Smith coming in now as your nickel back. And while I'm high on Smith, and I think he's got a real huge upside, he's a rookie and he's inexperienced. So he's going to struggle at times, too, just because of that. So you're right. I mean, there are absolutely definitely concerns there, especially because I don't think that this is a group that can stomach even one injury.
Yeah, if there's one thing that that has my teeth chattering after last night's game, it's Amerson in the secondary, and especially with injuries. A couple other things as we speak with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Please go there and read his five things to take away from last night's exhibition game. Chet Henne, look, he's a veteran. He's been in the league 10, 11 years. He knows what he's doing, and he knows his strengths, and he knows his limitations. If, God forbid, the Chiefs are in a situation where Patrick Mahomes II can't go for a series or a game or a little bit of a stretch, Chet Henne reassured me that he's a guy that can get the Chiefs through a bit of a stretch. I'm not saying he looked terrific. I'm not saying somebody else is going to bid for his services because they want him to be a starter, but I felt a lot better watching Chet Henne in that second half last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to describe him as anything other than just, a real pro. I mean, he is. I mean, and that's, one of the reasons why the Chiefs brought him in was certainly to be a veteran sounding board for Patrick Mahomes. But the other, really big reason they brought him in was because he's familiar with and really fits in with their scheme. I think you've seen that through the preseason. That's been two pretty solid outings that we've seen from Henne. And last night was really efficient, 8 of 10, 8 of 5 yards, a touchdown. I mean, that was pretty sharp in those two drives that he had. So, there's definitely things to like there about Henne. I mean, I think he can definitely get the job done. I mean, do you want to work with Chet Henne as your starter, 16 games? No. I mean, you prefer not to. But if you need him to come in to spell Mahomes, knocked out of a game or, need to make an emergency start, this team's not going to lose a whole lot. I mean, yeah, you're going to lose the explosive plays, but, Henne can do what he needs to do to keep the show moving.
All right, Matt Derrick, we are just about out of time for this segment. I will again point the listeners to ChiefsDigest.com to look at the five things from last night. And I'll leave this on a final note. Don't need to go into details, but you have a section in there for undrafted rookies. Matt, I've been telling you since they signed Ben Neiman from Iowa to watch this kid, because I watched a lot of Iowa football. I think he's impressing and opening up a lot of eyes. Not a guarantee he's going to make the roster, but he looks like a well-coached kid and a kid that played and was well-coached at Iowa. I like him. Darrell Williams, I don't know if he makes the team with the running backs. If he doesn't, if they don't find a way to hide him, somebody's getting a good running back. So I liked watching those guys. When you get the second half, you need something to keep your attention. Ben Neiman, Darrell Williams, good stuff. Matt, I appreciate you so much for joining us once again. And again, go to ChiefsDigest.com and check out Matt's five things we learned about the Chiefs in preseason week two. Matt, thank you very much, and don't be twerking out there, okay?
I will not. You don't do it either, man.
I will not. I'll be arrested if that happens. Matt Derrick, enjoy your day off. I know it's not really a day off because you got more analysis to do, but enjoy your day, and we look forward to more good stuff on ChiefsDigest.com.
You too. We'll talk to you again soon, Brad.
All right, that is Matt Derrick. And, again, that give you the website there. Also follow him on Twitter, at Matt Derrick. Has very good observations both during practices and training camps and OTAs and games as well. Good stuff from Matt Derrick. And I joked with Brad G., who's on the Chiefs PR staff. He's an Iowa native. I believe Brad went to Iowa State. And I told him at training camp last week, if Ben Neiman makes this team, I may have to shell out for a Ben Neiman jersey. But I can't afford what an NFL jersey costs. So I just kind of said that. Maybe I will. I don't know. All right, a quick timeout, and then we'll reflect on some of the things that Matt Derrick and I talked about there, more on the Kansas City Chiefs, and then we'll look forward to the 10 o'clock hour when Ben Kercheval from CBSSports.com comes on to talk college football and the latest embarrassing situation at The Ohio State University. And then at 11:25, we'll talk Sporting KC with Nate Buchady from the Border Patrol, and we'll also talk Big Steps KC. We're broadcasting live from Nebraska Furniture Mart at the Legends in KCK. We'll be out here till noon, but the activities are going on all day today. They're going to have games out here. You can get in the cornhole competition, the hot dog eating competition. Register for those at 2 o'clock. They'll have those at 3 o'clock. All kinds of great prizes. Also, they've got grill demonstrations going on, beer and liquor tastings, and they're giving away, folks, giving away 13 televisions. So anything you need for your tailgate, anything you need for your cave down to the basement, anything you need for your patio, grills, bar sets, stools, couches, bark lounges, whatever you need, come out of here today to Nebraska Furniture Mart in Kansas City, Kansas. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here with me. Jed Marshall's back in the Rally House studios. We'll be back with more right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from Nebraska Furniture Mart at the Legends in KCK. If you hear the beeping alarms going off, that's because they're testing the security system here. Can't walk out with free stuff. You can't walk out of here and just take things. It doesn't work like that. So they're testing the security alarms right next to us here.
Actually, I tried to sneak out with a mattress, Brad. I don't know noticed, like a full king, California king size mattress, and they unfortunately caught me.
They caught you.
So yeah.
Did you do
too bad.
2 to 6 in Leavenworth?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it knocked down for good behavior.
Yep.
Yeah. So the doors are going to open here in about 7 minutes, and we're out here as part of the National Kickoff Day. Get you ready for the football season at Nebraska Furniture Mart. You can get everything for your cave, your TVs, your speaker systems, your couches, your bark loungers, your bar accessories. And they all got all kinds of stuff they're going to set up out front here. They're going to have grill demonstrations. They're going to have beer and liquor tastings. They're going to give away 13 televisions today. Not one, not five, not 10, 13 televisions. Plus, you have the cornhole and the hot dog eating competitions, which begin at 3. You can register for those at 2. The foosball tournament is already full. You can't get into that. If you drop by our broadcast location, you can pick up a copy of the 810 WHB Football Insider Magazine with Patrick Mahomes on the cover. You can pick up a coaster, a koozie, and you can also register for a chance to win tickets to the final preseason game against the Packers here in a couple of weeks. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here with me. Jed Marshall's back at the Rally House Studios. Jed, we're talking with Matt Derrick there, and I couldn't get to all five of his points that he put up on ChiefsDigest.com. One of the ones we didn't have a time to get to was the run defense needs some starters. Tevin Coleman of the Falcons averaged 7 yards per carry in the first quarter as the Falcons rack up 76 yards in the first half. Not very encouraging stuff. And, of course, they had guys who were not available. They had Reggie Ragland unavailable. They had Anthony Hitchens was unavailable. So it was kind of on Eligwe and Terrence Smith to kind of get that done. But if Ragland and Hitchens are out for any period of time, it could make for a long Thursday night, Sunday afternoon, Monday night for the Chiefs.
It could. I think we're still in a position where it's early and we're seeing the Chiefs play without, a bunch of starters, presumably. I thought it was a nice start. Eligwe made a, stop in the backfield, but then all hell broke loose and the Chiefs gave up 58 yards on 3 plays, and it was kind of back to where the Chiefs were all of last year. So, who knows? I'd like to think when you get Barry and the two inside linebackers who Brett Veach and Andy Reid have talked so much about that the defense will be better. But Xavier Williams was still there. They're mixing in Derek Nnadi. So
right,
a lot of the principles are still where they need to be, and it was bad.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's an issue. And look, specialty, we got about a minute left here. Special teams is not sexy to talk about. There's nothing, unless somebody does something horrible, you're not going to point it out. And the Chiefs coverage units were not good. They were ugly last night. That was not a Dave Cobe coached special teams unit. And a lot of it is the young guys trying to make this roster. That's where you make the team. If you're not a starter and you're a young player, first year player, second year player, you make it on special teams. And the coverage units last night in Atlanta were awful. That's got to get ironed out. All right, we're coming up on the end of the hour. Two more to go. Coming up in the next hour, Ben Kirchival, CBSSports.com, will join us, talk about the latest embarrassing thing for The Ohio State University, plus other things. There's other things in college football to talk about, so we'll do that. At 11:25, Nate Picati from the Border Patrol will join us, talk Porter, Sporting KC and Big Steps. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from Nebraska Furniture Mart. Charlie Carlin is out here with me. Come and see us. Jed Marshall back in the Rally House Studios, back for hour number two, right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.